From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, June 23rd, 2025. Maine Governor Janet Mills has signed a $320 million spending bill into law. It was enacted by Democrats in the legislature along party lines last week. The spending package includes some, but not all, of the provisions the governor proposed in her January budget bill. Among the cuts was a plan to permanently provide Maine high school students free tuition to in-state community colleges. The new law also includes an increase in the cigarette tax as well as a new tax on online streaming services. The streaming tax will align with the state's sales tax rate. In a statement, Mills described the bill as including trade-offs and compromises and that she did not agree with every provision. The spending bill will go into effect 90 days after the legislature adjourns. Maine will swelter under dangerously hot temperatures this week, and state officials are warning people to stay safe during the heat wave. Peter McGuire has more.
The feels-like temperature may hit 106 degrees across much of the state on Tuesday. Vanessa Sperry with the Maine Emergency Management Agency says that's unusually hazardous.
Mainers are pretty tough, and when it comes to hot weather, we don't necessarily think of Maine as a place that experiences this kind of conditions. So we just want to make sure that people are aware of what the forecast is and that they're planning ahead.
Sperry says people should stay indoors and in air conditioning. If you have to work outside, keep hydrated and take plenty of breaks. A list of local cooling centers can be found at maine.gov/MEMA. Extreme heat is becoming more intense and frequent as a result of climate warming, fossil fuel pollution. The Maine Climate Office says average summer temperatures have increased about 3 degrees Fahrenheit since the 1950s. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Members of Maine's congressional delegation are sharply divided over President Donald Trump's airstrikes against Iranian nuclear sites. As Kevin Miller reports, Republican Senator Susan Collins voiced the strongest support, while Democrat Shelley Pingree had the harshest criticism.
In a written statement over the weekend, Collins says the airstrikes were a, quote, necessary response to Iran's aggressive pursuit of nuclear weapons, as well as a decisive hit that could help avert a broader conflict. Her colleague on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Independent Senator Angus King, was more reserved, saying in a statement that the strikes were both profoundly important and potentially dangerous because they risked involving the U.S. in another war in the Middle East. King also suggested that Trump should have at least consulted with key leaders in Congress first. But Democratic Representative Shelley Pingree went much further, saying that the president recklessly exceeded his constitutional authority. Speaking Monday after Iran targeted U.S. military bases in the region, Pingree says the airstrikes put U.S. service personnel at risk.
Well, I'm still deeply concerned about the action that the president took. Clearly, our soldiers and sailors are still in harm's way. While the initial attacks look like no one has been injured, there's still plenty of reason to be concerned.
Democratic Representative Jared Golden agreed with Trump's decision, given Iran's hostile stance toward the U.S. and sponsorship of terrorist organizations. But Golden says the administration must share more details about the reasons behind the airstrikes and whether Iran's nuclear weapons program was destroyed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine Supreme Court has halted hearings in a long-running indigent defense lawsuit while the legal challenge is appealed. Caitlin Badayan has more.
The law court ruled late Friday that individual hearings for the release of indigent criminal defendants held in jail for more than 2 weeks without an attorney cannot go forward pending an appeal in the case. Superior Court Justice Michaela Murphy had moved to begin hearings with criminal defendants this week to decide if they were eligible for release. The state filed an emergency motion earlier this month to stop the hearings, arguing that Maine appellate procedure prevents the Superior Court from taking action during an appeal. In the Supreme Court's ruling, Chief Justice Valerie Stanfill agreed with the state. But to expedite that appeal, Stanfill scheduled oral arguments for the case in October. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badayan.
Environmental advocates are calling on Congress to preserve clean energy tax credits, which are facing severe cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill. Lucy Hochschartner with Maine Conservation Voters says uncertainty in Washington is already affecting Maine clean energy projects and jobs.
It targets wind, solar, battery, and home energy upgrades that are helping millions of people save money and lower emissions. Here in Maine, we know the stakes. Clean energy isn't just about climate. It's about jobs, it's about health, and it's about keeping our energy dollars here at home.
She says the cuts would drive up Maine energy costs at a time when the state already has some of the highest energy prices in the country. A former Cumberland County Jail corrections officer who is now in ICE custody says he had filed for asylum in the U.S. and tried to follow the rules. In a brief statement, ICE officials said they arrested him after he allegedly attempted to purchase a firearm. Ari Snyder reports.
Gracien Milandu-Wamba says back home in the Republic of the Congo, he was tortured in retaliation for his brother's involvement in politics. He fled to the U.S. in 2023, arriving in Maine on a tourist visa, and applied for asylum a few months later. This year, on the morning of April 19th, he was driving to work when ICE agents arrested him, saying he'd overstayed his visa. Reached on a scratchy phone line from the Stratford County Jail in Dover, New Hampshire, Wamba says he's not sure how he landed in ICE custody while following the normal pathways toward legal status.
I'm so confused. I just want to be legal in this country, and I want to follow legal process.
One of Wamba's lawyers, Wade McCall, says the expired visa is a moot issue given his request for asylum.
By the time it expired, he had already begun the application process for asylum. And so the expired visa should not really be a problem.
In a written statement on Monday, ICE did not mention Wamba's asylum claim, but the agency says officers arrested Wamba for, quote, immigration violations, after he tried to purchase a firearm months earlier. McCall says Wamba wasn't aware of immigration-related restrictions on firearm purchases.
You're not supposed to try to buy a gun when you're here under a temporary visa and or in the asylum process.
McCall says Wamba's firearm application was denied, but McCall says the attempted purchase was one of the reasons he was denied bond and worries it could come back to hurt Wamba in his asylum case as well. Meanwhile, Wamba says he was trying to build a new life in the U.S., following the legal pathway to getting a work permit, a social security number, and a job. Now, though, he says he's been fired from his post at the Cumberland County Jail and is exhausted at being held in limbo, waiting for the government to make a decision in his case. Since he left the Congo, Wamba says his family there has continued to face violent retaliation for his brother's political work. And Wamba says if he were to be deported, his life would be in even greater danger than when he left.
My life there will be in danger more than before.
His next court date is scheduled for October. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
President Trump's big, beautiful budget bill that's making its way through Congress proposes cutting billions from Medicaid. The program, which is funded through both federal and state dollars, covers medical care and other services for low-income Americans. Here in Maine, state officials, healthcare providers, and advocates say the proposed cuts would have drastic consequences. To get a better understanding of how Maine could be affected, we're joined by Maine Public's Patty White. Hi, Patty.
Hey, Nicole.
So one of the major proposals in this budget is to institute work requirements in the Medicaid program. What are these requirements and who exactly would be subject to them?
So the work requirements would apply to adults up to age 64 who are enrolled in Maine Care, which is what we call the Medicaid program in Maine. And that would be about 86,000 people, according to state officials. And they'd be required to work at least 80 hours a month or be enrolled in an educational program unless they qualify for an exemption. And generally speaking, that could include parents of young children and people who are considered medically frail.
So this is aimed at Medicaid recipients who are able to work. So why are some people concerned about these requirements?
Well, critics point out that most adults enrolled in Medicaid who are under 65 already work or would be exempt. And they say a couple of other states have tried imposing work requirements, and they haven't boosted employment of people enrolled in Medicaid. In one of those states, Arkansas, 18,000 people lost coverage. And research has found it wasn't because they weren't eligible. It was primarily because they had trouble filing the necessary documents to show that they worked. The process was just onerous and confusing. And here in Maine, the commissioner of Maine's Department of Health and Human Services, Sarah Gagne-Holmes, estimates that more than 30,000 Mainers who are eligible for Medicaid would likely lose coverage, mostly because of red tape.
You're going to have to provide your paycheck stub to the Department of Health and Human Services every 6 months to show that you've been working. And that may sound simple for some of us who have one job and one payment stub, but if you're working multiple jobs and you've got to continually provide that information on a regular basis to the department to ensure that your coverage doesn't end, it can get complicated.
Okay, and what would the proposed change mean for people who would be exempt from work requirements?
So exactly who would be exempt is still being worked out, but it's likely going to include people with disabilities, people with substance use disorder who are trying to get treatment, and potentially people who are direct caregivers to older family members. But there are similar concerns among critics that this would impose significant barriers on people who need to prove that they're exempt. And Jess Maurer of the Maine Council on Aging says it's important to remember that caregivers actually save the government money by keeping people out of nursing homes.
The reason you're out of work is intentional to take care of an older person or a spouse. And that is what we want people to do. We want to incentivize them to take care of people so that the public isn't paying for that.
How much is it expected to cost Maine to implement work requirements?
It's going to cost millions. According to Maine's Department of Health and Human Services, Nicole, it's going to cost an estimated $8 million to get the program up and running between technology and staffing costs, and then $5.5 million each year after.
So aside from work requirements, what other changes to Medicaid does the budget bill propose?
Well, on the subject of cost, Maine stands to lose federal money because of penalties and other changes. So, for example, states like Maine that provide Medicaid coverage to non-citizen children would see a reduction in federal matching funds. Maine officials estimate that would be about $77 million a year. And there's also a provision that would put a moratorium on something called provider taxes. And basically, a provider tax is a way for states to tax hospitals to bring in more federal Medicaid funding. And so capping that provider tax means Maine and other states can't make changes and can't adjust as costs go up.
So the state isn't too happy about these changes. What are supporters saying?
Supporters are saying that these cuts are needed because the Medicaid program has just become too big. On the public radio program On Point recently, Paul Winfrey of the Economic Policy Innovation Center said that Medicaid spending is projected to increase by more than $1 trillion over the next decade.
And a lot of the reasons for that is that there are all of these incentives baked into the financing structure of Medicaid that encourage states to look for loopholes to bring in more money to the state coffers to finance both the Medicaid program, but also to finance other budget shortfalls at the state level.
And Nicole, he pointed to that provider tax as one example.
And what about providers? How would they be affected?
Yeah, some would be directly affected, specifically those who provide abortion care, because there's a proposal that would prohibit them from participating in Medicaid. So we're talking about Planned Parenthood and Maine Family Planning Clinics that offer a lot of other health services. And they say it's actually an attempt to close these clinics. And then for hospitals, it could mean having to absorb a lot more charity care because of the more than 30,000 Mainers who could lose Medicaid coverage. And a lot of Maine hospitals are already struggling financially. They're cutting services. Inland Hospital in Waterville just closed. The Maine Hospital Association says that's just going to continue. And Sarah Gagne-Holmes with the Maine Department of Health and Human Services says that affects everyone.
If these provisions go through, healthcare as we know it in the state of Maine is going to change substantially, and it will impact every single person in this state and their communities.
and she's among the critics who say this bill does not, as the Trump administration claims, save money by addressing waste, fraud, or abuse. It saves money, she says, by setting up barriers to disenroll people from Medicaid.
All right. So I know we're going to hear more reporting on this from you over the next 2 days, how it could affect people with disabilities and those who get health coverage through the insurance marketplace. Patty White, thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Maine's transportation gap. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.